like to invite you over to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, we ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, Lord, and that you might guide us deeper into your truths, and that you might give us more of your understanding of what life is really all about. We sometimes can get caught up in all the hustle and the bustle of life, not only just every time of the year, but even during this time of the year, and lose our focus of you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, and Lord, that you would enable us to walk with you. Bless your people tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply A Matter of the Heart, A Matter of the Heart. And tonight we'll take notice, really, of the three-step process that we have here before us that it takes to have a heart for God. What does it mean to have a heart for God? Well, first of all, we have to have faith or trust to believe that God's promises are true. You have to believe that to begin with. And then there's a commitment to memorize or to ingrain the truth into our thinking. Because the world is trying to press us into its mold. It's trying to say, is it not? This is the way that you're to think. Is that not what the world's saying today? It's always been doing that. This is the right way. And they look down upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They look down as, you're one of them, or you have a handicap. Or they look down on a relationship with the Lord. And then the last thing we'll take a look at tonight is a choice to guard the truth and to reject anything that is contrary to it, because there's a battle that takes place in our everyday lives. So first of all, let's consider, we're going to go to verse 2 for this one, faith or trust to believe that God's promises are true and can be applicable into our lives. So what is it that would cause us to put faith and trust, or the same words really, to believe that God's promises are true? Look at verse 2 with me, if you will. And notice what it says here. Here's God's promise. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Is that a good commodity to have, a good resource in your life? Drop down to verse 4, and it says this. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So this is going to bring us into good favor and give us good understanding in the sight of God and man. Then if you would drop down to verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here we have God's promises that I think make it worth our while to seek him. He says you're going to find fulfillment, contentment, and purpose in this life that will satisfy your soul personally and really be a blessing into the lives of others as they see us enjoying these things. So here we have really a reason to believe or to at least venture into seeking what God has promised. God being the all-creator, the almighty, and if he's making these promises, then we have the opportunity to receive them and to experience them. So this is a reason to place our faith or trust that God and his promises are true. And then secondly, a commitment to memorize or to ingrain the truth into memory. Look at verse 1. My son, he says, forget not my law. Don't forget them. So if you don't forget them, you have to remember them. And in order to remember them, it's important, I think, to memorize them, because you can't memorize the truths of God's word when you need them. If you don't have them, then it's kind of like going on a hunting trip and not taking whatever you're hunting with, you know, or if you brought your gun, but you didn't bring any ammunition. You know, these are all things that it's too late now if you're out in the middle of the woods and, you know, the day's beginning and you're not prepared. And so we have to have a commitment to memorize or ingrain the truth into our memory. Now, there's many reasons for that. One of them is because you ever heard of muscle memory? You do things so often, you do them enough, you do them often enough, they become automatic. You just do those things without even thinking. And so you want to instill for yourself a pattern. You want to
You want to have this is the way I live. I look to the Word of God, and this is normal for me. In spite of what the world is doing, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to practice. So I don't even have to think about what I'm going to do. I already know what I'm going to do, and I will practice those things. And so it's important that we commit them into memory. There are some people that do some amazing things, but it's because they've repeated them over and over and over again. There was one guy in the 70s, and I never knew him in the 70s or in the 80s, and he was one of these quick draws, you know. He'd shoot from the hip, and he could shoot. I mean, they couldn't even see him. They had to slow the camera down, and he'd pop two balloons and put his whole, and the gun was back in his holster, and you couldn't even see him move. It was so fast. It's just pop, pop, you know. And then how did he do that? Well, they slowed the camera down so you can see. Yeah, he actually pulled the pistol out of his holster and shot it. Well, he didn't just do that the first time. The worst thing you could do is practice doing something like that with ammunition in the gun. Because you probably shoot yourself the first time trying to be in a big hurry. But you practice these things, and you practice these things. And he does that, I'm sure, not even thinking about, you know, not even giving it thought. And that's because he's practiced it over and over and over again. And so likewise also, it's important for us to practice, to put into practice the Word of God. So that becomes who we are, right? And in fact, you know, I don't even know the guy's name, but that's how did I identify this guy? The guy who's a fast draw, right? That's become his identification now. Oh yeah, the guy that can shoot before you can even see that he shot anything, right? And so we want to be known as believers, faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because people see us. That's what we live by. That's how we put those things are how we live, right? Does that make sense? That's automatic to us. And the only way that that can happen is that we seek those things from the Lord and have a commitment to the Lord to allow him to work out his will. Lord, I want to walk in your ways, but guess what? I need you. I can't walk in your ways by myself. I need you to guide me into all these things. I need to be empowered and led by you in order to honor and glorify you. So if we really believe these things, then we're going to commit to these things, right? I was working with one fella, and he didn't understand really. And he was challenging my faith. I had witnessed to him about the Lord. We were doing construction work one summer, and it was 1993 when we had all that rain and the floods and everything. And I was going from Sullivan into St. Louis every day because there was messes there, and we were putting in underground cable and everything. But anyway, he said, "Do you really believe that?" I said, "Absolutely." And you believe that people that are dying and going to hell then without the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, absolutely. He didn't understand. So, well, then you ought to be out there 24/7 out there telling people. And I said, well, we do tell people. And we are in a business of sharing our faith. But he didn't understand. I mean, obviously we can believe in things. And there's other obligations that we have in this life. But he made a good point. We need to be careful that we don't lose our testimony in the midst of living life, right? I don't want to use the excuse, well, we have to live life. Well, that's true, and the Lord knows that. But in the midst of living life, may we be a witness and a testimony of the grace of God. And so we need to be committed to the truth that God is guiding us in. And then the last thing I want you to look at is a choice to guard the truth and to reject anything that is contrary to it. So we'll look at a couple of verses here. And that means that we value God's word in a specific way. So look at verse 13 with me, and notice what he says here. He says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. This is God saying, if you find wisdom, you're going to be a happy individual, and the man that getteth understanding. So happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and of course it's talking about God's wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, and again, from the Lord. Look at verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So God is saying this is better than any precious metals that you're going to find out there. He said this is of great value. And then look at verse 15. This wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. So how do we see this truth? If we see this truth as valued here, as God is placing this value on it, then we need to reject everything that is contrary to it. Does the world honor the wisdom of God? No. I mean, what are they? Look at all these crazy things that people are doing and saying. That's not what we prize. In fact, are they really finding life? People that are given to these things. How would you like to be somebody who doesn't even know what they are? And then they get offended. Don't address me by anything because I don't know what I am. Don't call me Mr. Don't call me Mrs. Don't call me ma'am. Don't call me sir. It sounds like somebody's not happy. Don't stop. Just don't, before you even try. And here's the whole thing. It's just being nice to people. It's, when you say ma'am or sir, that's being respectful. Well, to be respectful in this day and age is to be offensive. Now, tell me this world is not in a mess. And I'm sorry, listen, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I cannot and I will not, let me just say that, I will not live by the dictates of the world, but I will live by the commandments of God. If God says I'm to honor all men, I'm going to honor them according to His way. I'm not going to on purpose be spiteful, but listen, hey, I'm not going to apologize if I say yes, sir, and somebody gets all bent out of shape about say, or yes, ma'am, and they get all bent out of shape. I'm not going to get into a confrontation with them, but here's what they have just revealed. They don't know the Lord. But listen, I am not going to compromise the truth of God's word to appease anybody because you never will appease everybody. And so, listen, the greatest thing that we could do is value the word of God and His instructions and His... Listen, this is the instruction manual for life. Not just on this side, but for all time. Into eternity, right? So when the world can come up with something better, and it never will, because it's not of the Lord, it's of the devil. And how do I know that? I've come out of the world. I know exactly what the world is all about. And you're never going to appease everybody. And so more important than appeasing any individual, wouldn't it not be the greatest investment to make sure that we're found pleasing to our Savior? And to our God. It's so important as believers today that we give our hearts to the Lord. That's where it all begins. And then with that, God will build our faith and our trust to believe that His promises are true. We'll want to commit them to memory so that they're ingrained and they become muscle memory, a natural reflex to the child of God. This is just what we do. Listen, I say this, and I hope you know where I'm coming from. God died for those that are lost, that are in the world. God did die for them. And we do want to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, what happens when the tables turn on us? Will they see Christ in us? Not if He's not in there now. I'm talking about to children of God. If He's not having His will and His way in our lives now, when we're treated... I'm going to ask you this question, all right? Raise your hand if you have, and don't be funny, raise your hand if you've never been mistreated. Raise your hand if you've never been treated unkindly. All right, so nobody's raising their hand. So I would say everybody has been treated unkindly at one time or another. All right, well, here's the thing. What do we do at those times? The Holy Spirit should have hold on our hearts. We should be so in tune with the Lord to realize that they're one for whom Christ died for, and He wants to use us to be the light in their world, to be gentle and kind. Do they deserve it? No. No, but neither do we as well. And so it's important. It's important that we walk with the Lord on this side into our everyday lives. And that we allow the Lord to bear his fruit in and through our lives. If we're not abiding today, when will we abide? If we're not seeking to abide in the Lord, and if you don't understand completely what that means, join the club and ask God to help you understand. I can't do it for you. You can do it for yourself, though. Help me to understand, Lord, how to abide in you and you in me, and that you might bear your fruit in my life. Help me to value who you are and who you want to be in my life. So if we are practicing now before the big day, right? If we are practicing now what God wants us to be, that means when you practice, that means you have failure and then you try again, right? And you have failure and you try again. Well, I think the Lord wants us to practice our walk with him and seeking him every day until we stand before him. So then if ever there is Christian persecution, I know we think there's no Christian persecution, at least there isn't for the most part in the United States like there is in some other countries today, right? But there has been Christian persecution in history, I dare say in our lifetime, right? And even today, but maybe Christian persecution might come into our society. And then how will we stand if we're not practicing today that we might pray for those that would despitefully use us, right? And so that's real Christianity, is it not? We don't want to just get our heads filled with a bunch of information and not put it into practice. God is saying, here it is right here. God, as you seek the Lord, he's going to build your faith and your trust to believe that his promises are true, even in the midst of difficulties. There are Christian people who have faced persecution. I was looking into a story today of a fellow, I don't remember his name, in Romania in the 1950s. And he would not bow down to communism. They wanted him, so they imprisoned him because he was a Christian pastor. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's the fellow who, what is it? I can't remember, something with the martyrs. You know what I'm talking about? It's been going around for many years. What, Voice of the Martyrs, right? Voice of the Martyrs. I think he was the one that started it after he was freed sometime in the late 1950s. But he was in prison for many, many months. In fact, I think years. And the prison guard, the commander of his camp, would come in and find him praying and mock him and saying, "Where's your God? Where's your God? What are you praying for yourself?" is what he said. And he said, "No, actually, I'm praying for you. Because without Christ, we're all going to die." And he gave a powerful witness and a testimony. And I don't know if that guy ever got saved, but it stopped him right where he stood, you know. And that's a Christian testimony, to be able to see those things instead of ourselves. When we go through difficulties, we're just looking to ourselves, and this makes me uncomfortable, and this is a difficult situation for me right now. But what about the cause of Christ, see? If the focus is on ourselves, we'll never get outside. God will never bring us outside of ourselves to think about him and our witness for him. Our witness for him does not start when we think it starts. It's a daily thing, that we walk with him and that we let Christ have his way, and that we see less of ourselves and more of the Spirit of God in us, where we say, I know who I am and I know what I am. And so I know I need to seek God diligently that I might see more of Jesus Christ in my life even today. So as we consider this, it's all what the title is tonight, a matter of the heart. Do we really have a heart for God to believe that his promises are true, to believe that his truths are worth being committed to? And do we believe, and do we desire to guard the truth and to reject anything that is contrary to it? Because we're being bombarded with it more today than ever before. We celebrate the birth of Christ, and I would dare say, if you were to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, "Is there anything I could get for you that would make you happy?" You know what he would say? "My son, my daughter, Give me your heart, because it's all about a matter of the heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, the direction, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that you would guide the rest of the service as we break off for prayer, that you would be honored and glorified, and Lord, our lives empowered by your might and strength to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Bless your people, Lord, your church tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.